Yeah.
I feel like you called it 6 years ago that eventually we'd come back to cover the most haunted houses.
I must know, because it's always been Bunko. Hello, welcome to Guide to the Unknown. I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
And this week, we are going to be discussing two of the most haunted places in America. So if you're into this sort of stuff, you've probably come across a million different haunted houses or cemeteries or whatever that are the most haunted blank in America.
Yes.
We've come across it already, I don't know, like 25 times on the show. So Will and I have decided to start talking about those, one, you know, for each of us in an episode, and kind of like pitting them against each other and doing almost like unofficial brackets.
Yes, there can only be one most haunted place.
Right.
So today we're going to be talking about, well, I'll be talking about the Whaley House.
Yep, and I'm going to be talking about the Spy House.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes, yes. Which reminds me, part of where this came from, for anybody who's interested, I was on the podcast Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and they had a sort of unofficial competition. This podcast Tell 'Em Steve Dave has a spinoff that they do occasionally called Overkill, which is all about the paranormal. And I was in the running to be the Overkill guy, come in with paranormal stories. So I went in, I pitched, the audience voted, and I did not win.
Right.
In fact, I did, I think, quite poorly, and I'm never going to listen to the episode that I was on. ended up leaving that building very embarrassed.
Oh, William.
But this concept was one of the things that I brought up that I would want to do on Tell 'Em Steve Dave, is pit haunted houses against each other. And then I was like, all right, well, screw them.
Totally.
Do it over here.
Of course.
So
why not?
What was I thinking, taking any paranormal ideas outside of Guide to the Unknown anyway? I must have been out of my mind.
Don't ever do it again.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right. I'm sorry.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Just trying to make money.
Of course. I can't say I blame you.
Yeah. No, I think it's probably for the best that I did not get that job. the Spy House in particular was a building that I knew was near the Tell 'Em Steve Dave recording headquarters.
Yeah, it should be like a fun one to bring up because maybe they'd been there or something.
That's what I thought, and then it turned out to be the least fun thing ever, and nobody wanted it.
Well, let's see if
they I really can... only want to talk about like boners.
Yeah,
it seems to be almost exclusively what they actually want.
Well, I'm not that much into boner talk, although I'm not averse. I like farts.
Absolutely,
if that interests you.
It's fine by me. It's not what I care about.
Yeah,
I was like, I want to talk about hauntings and stuff, and then nobody had any interest in actually talking about it. They're like, no, say something wacky.
And then
let us riff.
Right.
Not really what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I lost legitimately,
yes.
But I also probably think I. It's probably for the best that I lost. I was not fitting the vibe.
Yeah, totally.
But so we'll do it properly over here.
All right. Excellent. So I think I'll start us off when we come back.
Oh, wonderful.
With the Spy House after this little commercial break. Okay. So when you walked in to the Tell 'Em Steve Dave Studios, did you know anything about the Spy House? Like, what info did you bring with you?
Here's part of how I screwed up. Walt Flanagan, who is, let me just say, wonderful.
Yeah.
I love working with Walt Flanagan. Still working on something with him right now.
Yeah, he seems like a great guy.
He is one of the best creative partners outside of you and Bobby that I've ever had.
Yeah.
I brought up the Spy House as a reference of like, I want to go to a haunted place. And then Walt was like, I sent a very clear text where I was like, bring us a scary story, not bring us something that you want to do later. And so I immediately screwed up right off the bat. I was wrong. Within seconds of speaking, I was like, I've prepped for this entire show incorrectly. I like misinterpreted. I was like, I'm pitching a world of things to do together, not just like, here's a boner ghost.
Right.
And that they wanted a boner ghost.
Did you turn red?
Oh my God, yes.
I would turn so red.
Oh, it was brutal. And it was only my fault. I completely misinterpreted the goal.
Who among?
I know. I was trying to play a little game. I was trying to be silly and be like, why should I be the scary guy?
Yeah.
I've done a million scary things, and here are some of the things I want to do.
Yeah.
But it should have just been, here's a boner ghost.
Yeah.
So that's on me. Listen, I blame no one but myself.
Sure. And maybe the boners.
But it was brutal.
Ugh, William.
It was brutal. And then
I can't.
And then the fallout from the listeners was even worse. It was a solid week of getting punched in the face.
I know. Will texted me and he was like, don't.
Dude, I was like, don't listen to it. I walked out of that studio and texted Chris. I was like, I botched it. Do not listen to it. Don't even go online. It was, Kristen, it's some of the worst I've ever felt on the internet in the last, in the last month.
I hate that so much. Yeah. I will say, though, I was venting to my husband, Ryan, about this.
Yeah.
And then he was curious, so he listened, and he said it was not
I'm sure, bad. Listen, I know what Tell 'Em Steve Dave is. I've been working with them for a couple of years now.
I know.
I know this score. I know that this is always at risk of happening.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh no, it's happening, and it's my fault. This is both two bad things, because I agree with everything that everyone's saying. People are like, Will sounds like he's trying to be like smarter than everyone and clever. And I'm like, yeah, I was. And they're like, he sounds smug. And then during the show, I was like, I think I made a mistake, everybody, by coming in all smug.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I say that, and I don't know if it's in the final cut, but I started apologizing for how I introduced myself like halfway through the show. As I was like, why should I? Here's what I've done. Here are some things. What have you done, Tom? He's the other guy that I was up against.
Well, it's like jokey competition.
That's
or
what
whatever.
I thought. And then he started talking about his boner ghost, and the guys loved it. And I was like, oh, right. Right.
Shit.
Should have done that.
Oh, damn it.
It seems obvious in retrospect. But what? God. Whatever. So, what I went in with the Spy House was very limited knowledge that it was called the most haunted house in America.
Now I'm mad again.
And that, why?
That people were being mean online.
Oh, Kristen.
My hands are starting to sweat.
Kristen,
you know I get vengeance.
I know. We're not built for this. We're not. We're too sensitive.
We're sensitive. And yes. Also, I've enacted vengeance on William's part before.
Oh, you shouldn't. I don't want to talk.
No, I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't in this instance, but I get the urge to.
I know. You.
I've done evil deeds.
You're quite mad, you know.
I've done things that people out there would not expect that I would do.
It's true.
On William's behalf, because I get defensive.
That is true. But no, I think the right thing to do was just weather the storm.
Yes, I know.
I had to literally like batten down the hatches and just try to survive.
My hands are sweating.
It was angry. It was brutal. They hate me. They absolutely hate
me. Guess what? I hate them.
Well, Walt still likes me. I was working with him just the other day.
I like him.
Delightful to work with.
Seems like a nice guy. Yes. Okay, go ahead. I'll move on.
Anyway, so I brought in like, I want to go to the spy house. Mm-hmm. And then they were all like, yeah, we know about the spy house.
Yeah.
I was like, Okay, moving on. This is like covered in flop sweat. So this is, quite frankly, brand new territory for me. What you got?
Okay. All right. It's a cool story. Somewhat like the Puckwudgie thing from a few weeks ago, but not as, not like finding out that it's like bummer cultural appropriation and like stuff like that. I did find an angle of this that I found kind of more interesting than the actual like haunted stories themselves, although I have those too. There's something about this I found kind of cooler than like just the haunted stuff itself. So the Spy House is the official name for a place that's mostly known, or used to be mostly known, as the Seabrook Wilson House. It was called that because it was built by the Seabrook family, and then it got passed down through generations of that family before it was sold to the Wilson family. So, you know, that. And it was built in the early 1700s. So a lot of the information I have is from this new NJ.com article that you can find in our show notes, where a historian named Kristen Hone talked to them and wanted to kind of correct some of the like rumors around it.
Yeah.
It was sort of like a debunky article, but there were things I enjoyed from it. And so I guess there are a lot of people who say that it was built in the 1600s, and she said it's actually the early 1700s. And then between 1900 and 1955, it had a whole bunch of different lives and different purposes. So it was a boarding house, then it was an inn, it was a restaurant, a beach resort, and then it sat empty for a while in the 50s. Then it was going to be demolished until some locals saved it by persuading the township to buy it and make it a historical site. And they did that and turned it into a maritime museum.
Okay.
This is where the fun starts.
Once it becomes the maritime museum?
Rubs hands together.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Okay. Here comes a character I really like and I wish that I could find more and more and more about. I found a little bit about, but this was the meat and potatoes for me.
Okay.
So the museum curator was a woman named Gertrude Niedlinger, and she was apparently this colorful older gal who started to tell some unproven stories.
Oh, excellent.
During tours of the house, And she also brought in a psychic to do ghost tours and basically just like was whooping it up in this house because she wanted to get people to come to it. And from my understanding, was just making stuff up about this house.
That's excellent.
Which is so awesome.
It doesn't,
awesome.
It's not going to help it win the title of America's Most Haunted, but.
No, it's certainly, well, no, it does help it win the title of America's Most Haunted. Not actually, but The reason that people came to this place and it's got this big reputation is because Gertrude Niedlinger is telling people that it's haunted here, right, and holding ghost tours and having psychics come in. That's not to say that the people who were leading ghost tours and the psychics and stuff, they're not all in on this sort of like scheme or whatever, but Gertrude, like, she told people that it was buried on classically, even, you know, back in the day, I guess in the 50s, it's buried on the grave
built on
an ancient Indian burial ground.
Of course. Yeah, everything has to. Anything haunted is built on an ancient Indian burial ground.
Yes.
That's such a funny thing, too. Like, the ancient Indian notion, I think, is because of the weird, like, well, they must have been mystical people.
Yeah.
So therefore, their cemeteries are different from a
normal
Christian cemetery or something.
Cemetery, quote unquote. Right. You know? They're going to have some other something that's going on.
It's just funny to be like, it's an ancient Indian burial ground. Not just like it was built on a cemetery.
No.
P.S. What's not built where someone's dead?
Absolutely.
You know, my long lingering theory that you can't walk 3 feet without there being a dead body somewhere beneath the soles of your feet. You
That's
know?
Completely true. And with the amount of people who have died over time, if ghosts are real and if they're around us, this room and your room at home is chock-a-block full of ghosts.
Packed
right now.
To the gills.
Absolutely.
With ghosts.
So this New Jersey.com article that I'm using as one of my sources notes that she was part of the historical society, but not a trained historian. So is this historian shade? I'm going to say so. And I'm not loving the pearl clutching of this. However, I know that the truth matters and everything, but like, I don't know, I'm loving this gal is what I'm saying.
Well,
so
you,
it seems like she doesn't have perhaps the chops
okay.
that I guess you're supposed to have in the historian world.
She was technically
world.
In the group, but didn't have the...
Sounds like she was a historian hobbyist, but I guess maybe to be like the museum curator, I guess you're supposed to have some sort of accolade, or maybe that's preferred or something.
Sure, yeah.
But she did not.
Listen, I support anybody who doesn't have the official certification.
Oh, I do too.
Quite frankly, I understand it.
Get yours.
But it does sound like, I mean, what you have just said is that she made a bunch of shit up. She lied about everything, made up every ghost that's in that building.
That's correct.
And then people are like, well, yeah, she's not really a historian. And you're taking issue with that?
Me take? Oh, with them saying that she's not a historian?
Yeah.
No,
it sounds like
saying,
she was a total bullshitter.
Yes, I'm just saying I don't care, and she sounds awesome. She was an old lady when she started this place. I like the idea that she like was an old woman who became this museum curator and was like, oh, this, you know, come with me on this tour. This place is full of ghosts.
Yeah.
That's delightful. So one of the stories that she told that gave this place its name was about a colonel milking British soldiers for information, and that's why it's called the Spy House.
Okay.
So to set this up, Hone, that historian, said that Thomas Seabrook was a lieutenant colonel in the Patriot Militia and lived in that house during the Revolutionary War. During most of the war, the British... This is a bunch of stuff I don't understand at all, but it sets it up. During most of the war, the British had control of New York City and Sandy Hook, which is in New Jersey, so they controlled the waterway. And Seabrook's house was like a beacon and a target for the British because it was located on the shore of the Sandy Hook Bay. Now, Niedlinger, Gertrude, the curator of the museum.
The liar,
who I love. Beloved liar, Niedlinger.
Yes.
Started telling people on tours about the rumors that Thomas Seabrook used his home as a tavern, got British soldiers drunk, and listened for the military secrets they were telling. This was why it was called the Spy House. She... Gertrude Niedlinger is responsible for it being called the Spy House.
Oh, it didn't even have that name.
No.
It wasn't called the Spy House, and then she came up with an origin story. It was just called the Seabrook whatever house.
The Seabrook Wilson House.
And then she's like, you know, people used to tell secrets here, and there was a whole scheme of getting information.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm calling it the Spy House.
Yeah, or it became colloquially known as the Spy House. I don't know that she put as fine a point on it as to say, like, I call it the Spy House. Yeah. Now, the historian in the article, Hone, points out that the Spy House story is unsubstantiated and that Thomas Seabrook applied for a tavern license in 1803, but that was 20 years after the war was over. Now, she admits it could have been operating as a small local tavern before that, but there are no records of it being a tavern before 1803.
Okay.
So it may not be a thing. So the now Spy House started getting a reputation for its ghost tours and people having experiences on these ghost tours, seeing like, oh, I think I see a British spy in the corner or whatever. So it starts getting this like...
it's all horseshit.
It's reputation. Could be horseshit. Could be thought forms. Like, I know. Just kind of the, you know.
I was already thinking that. Like,
of course.
There's the concept of like a tulpa too, of like,
yes,
if enough people believe something, does it then start to exist?
Yes.
And that is the escape hatch,
of course,
of any true believer when they're mm-hmm. confronted with irrefutable proof of bullshit.
But here's the thing, it's not irrefutable.
Could it be a tulpa?
We cannot prove it is not there, and we cannot prove it is there.
So it's like Schrodinger's ghost.
Yes.
It both is and is not real.
All of the paranormal is this.
The second
you
that she started...
You cannot definitively prove it's not there.
God damn it.
Nor can you prove that it is there.
Well, it certainly is not going to win at the bracket today. I gotta say, I think that the Spy House is sounding more and more like Walt and Brian Quinn and Brian Johnson were right. Huge mistake.
What?
It's not real.
Oh, did they say it wasn't real?
Well, Walt certainly didn't believe in
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. So it gets this reputation, and soon, because it's getting this reputation, paranormal groups are coming through to perform investigations because it's got this rep.
Yeah.
But then eventually they decide to close it to the public, and Weird New Jersey says that then the paranormal community was suspicious. What are they hiding? Why don't they want people to know about these paranormal happenings?
Yeah.
And so the reputation grows. Now,
this is awful.
Kristen Hone from that NJ.com article said that by the 1990s, Niedlinger and the Historical Society had a falling out.
Okay. Believe it or not. Yeah, shocking.
This is a quote. Basically, they asked her to leave for a variety of reasons, said Hone. Problems such as where certain artifacts came from, no clear record keeping, and the interpretation of the house played a role in her removal. Then I found a little bit more info on this whole thing from the blog of a paranormal investigator named Greg Caggiano. His blog is linked in the show notes, and the whole thing is worth a read. I thought it was great. Is this a quote? Let's say it's a quote. I didn't quote it, but I think it is. Gertrude was eventually done away with in the late 1990s after reports came out of strange goings-on. She would hold candlelight seances with psychics and visitors, and even let children from the neighborhood spend the night in the house as a sort of ghostly challenge, all without any supervision of any kind, and candles allowed to burn brightly. Upon her removal, in an unprecedented lawsuit which rocked the museum community, Gertrude sued for the artifacts and items inside the house and won.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. If she was able to sue for the artifacts inside the house, doesn't that again lend credence to the
yes.
notion that she had
yes.
brought them? They were
it
not
does.
Real artifacts.
Yes, it does.
They were artifacts that she made up. Brought yes. in, and therefore that's why they belong to her.
Correct.
That's incredible.
Correctamundo. That's why I wish I knew more and more and more about Gertrude Niedlinger.
She's got to be, you got to figure, I wonder if she's like a dime a dozen as an individual.
I wonder.
Just in the in the history of the paranormal.
Yeah.
Like a storyteller bullshitter
mm-hmm.
who it's fun to believe.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Therefore, people do believe. And the more that right. you say something... the more that people just go like, well, didn't you hear? That place is haunted. And like, she created folklore.
Yes.
She created word of mouth.
She's a folklorist.
Yeah.
Gertrude Niedlinger.
A different sort of folklorist, I think.
She is.
I genuinely think that the proper term for her is a bullshitter. It's like a folklorist would like study
true.
Folklore.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody who creates folklore is full of shit.
Yeah.
In a charming way.
Totally.
Right? Like, I've got no problem with her whatsoever. In fact, like... I'm sort of, you know, bagging on this story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I like it a lot because I'm pretty sure that this was in the 90s that she was ousted.
Yeah.
So this is all
1990.
Relatively modern history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
So like, it's pretty rare, I think, to be able to point to an event and be like, this is the origin of the haunting.
Right.
A person made it up starting here.
Yes.
Like,
I'm not sure exactly when she started. I'm not totally sure.
Well, you said she was old when she began.
Yes.
So I'm going to say 80s.
I think so, too. Oops.
You know, maybe late 70s, early 80s. Let's just pretend.
That's what I think as well, because it said that it was kind of like going through all these different iterations until 1955.
Right.
Then it was going to be demolished and they saved it. So I think it's reasonable to think that maybe in the like 15 years or something it took for them to turn it into a museum.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that this entire story is like this person, Nerdlinger, mm-hmm. whatever, what's her name?
Needlinger.
What's her name?
Gertrude Needlinger.
Gertrude Needlinger.
Yeah.
I think is a symptom of something that's been going on since time began.
Or people... is she the cause?
Oh, from the...
No, I don't know.
she is the one who created every ghost.
I would like to think that.
There are photos of people who she look seems... suspiciously like Gertrude Needlinger,
yeah,
stretching
like that...
back to the 1500s.
Like that picture at the end of The Shining.
Yes.
Gertrude is just always there.
Yes, or how people are like, look at these portraits of Keanu Reeves going back to like
oh,
the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
Gertrude Needlinger was always there, seeding myths.
Yeah, exactly.
Ghost stories.
She seems kick-ass.
I do like it.
Yeah, I love it. So, on to some of these actual ghost encounters.
Yes, okay.
That happened. So, what has gone on that makes people say that this is the most haunted place ever? Jane Doherty from South Plainfield.
Oh, interesting.
Which is where our mom lived for a long time. Now, this article was from 2019, if I remember correctly. Is a psychic medium who conducted ghost tours at the house. And then I wrote, was? Checked her website and it's up for sale. And if she was working with Gertrude, who was already old, well, ..
You know what happened to him.
Yeah.
Ghosts.
Anyway, I think she might be a ghost. Anyway, she told the story of Abigail, one of the famous ghosts of the spy house, who was said to be a woman who stared out of the window looking for her husband lost at sea, and who Jane says that many people had experiences with, including her own mother.
Wow.
Her mother came with Jane for an interview at the house. I don't really know what that means, but whatever.
Yeah.
And was standing outside, just hanging out, when Jane met back up with her, and she said something weird happened. Quote, I saw this woman standing by the water, Doherty said her mother told her. She described this woman as wearing a long black skirt, a red blouse with a cap on her head, and her hair tied back with a black bow. Fearing for the woman who looked upset, her mother approached the figure, who did not move. She then walked back to her car, turned around, and saw the woman dissipate. Doherty told her mother, who doesn't believe in the paranormal, that what she saw was the ghost of Abigail.
Okay.
Who apparently is somebody who a bunch of people have said that they have seen while at the spy house.
And which is kind of like a classic repeating ghost story. The woman whose husband went out to sea and never returned, either because he, you know, was lost at sea or he sailed off to, you know, some different life.
Yeah, right. Like Mary Ellis.
Like the ghost of Mary Ellis, who my favorite weird thing around us, the grave in the movie theater parking lot.
Yeah. Kicks complete ass.
Totally kicks ass.
She is said to have been standing by the river, which is by that parking lot, looking out for her husband, and then died and was buried there. And then a flea market was built around that, and they kept the grave
ironically
there.
The flea market from the movie Mallrats.
Right. Which
featuring Walt Flanagan and Brian Johnson of Tell 'Em Steve Dave.
That's right.
And is also supposedly where Brian Quinn got his start because he was a fan of Mallrats specifically.
Got to start what doing what?
He contacted Kevin Smith and said that he went to a comic book shop and a guy yelled at him because he was like, why don't you have the Mallrats book? It was a companion book or something. Yeah. And Kevin Smith wrote back to Brian Johnson. Brian, good God. Kevin Smith wrote back to Brian Quinn and said, give that comic book dork some shit for me. So Brian Quinn did, recorded it, sent it back, and Kevin Smith hired him. And so all these years later, you know, Brian Quinn sort of got his start with Kevin Smith and then became an impractical joker.
And became a boner ghost aficionado.
Boner ghost aficionado.
Look at
that. That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly.
Supposedly, of course. But yeah, then they built. So yeah, it was the dirt mall.
Yeah.
And then it became a movie theater, which it is now, and the grave is still there.
I love it.
And we talked about it in an episode called, I think it's called New Jersey Ghost Hunts.
I think it's episode 200 something. It was our live show. We did a live show and we showed footage and stuff.
Yeah, it's sweet. Okay, now here are some stories from hauntedplaces.org.
Wonderful.
One of our favorite websites. It's a website that like looks very 90s, but it functions beautifully. And you can put in the location of a haunted place or even like your zip code or whatever. And it spits out a list of different haunted places and people leave comments with their experiences. Even though most of the comments are pretty old. So I don't think people use it a ton anymore, but that just makes it all the better. And these are from 2014 and 2015. And there's a back and forth here that I really enjoy. So this first experience is from Sammy. They say, we took a Halloween tour sometime in the early 90s. In the beginning, I was rather disappointed as I'm not a fan of antiques. I only stayed in the Civil War room on the first floor for a few minutes as the aroma of lavender was overpowering. Venturing to the second floor while in a very narrow and overcrowded hallway, the people in front of me were making disproving sounds as if they were smelling something unpleasant. As we moved forward, I learned that a teenage boy had vomited.
Oh, God.
That'll do it.
Get the sawdust.
Yeah. Where's the janitor? Oddly enough, the area to me was filled with the lovely fragrance of lemons. Moving on.
Maybe the boy had eaten a bunch of lemons and lavender.
Blah, blah, blah. Moving on, we were ushered into a small room and there must have been over 20 people in attendance. The tour guide was explaining various items and I suddenly heard what sounded like a woman hysterically laughing from another location in the house. At first I said nothing and just looked around at the others who were not reacting. At that point I interrupted the speaker and said, "What, am I the only person who heard that?" When questioned about my experience, about a half a dozen folks sheepishly admitted that they had heard it too. The guide requested that I speak with her at the close of the tour. When we chatted, I told her that it sounded like a laugh that a woman might make if she is being manhandled and not fully enjoying it.
Oh, God.
I know. Okay. And trying unsuccessfully not to panic. And I also asked if they put out any fragrances or flowers and was informed that they do not. I told her that I had to leave the Civil War room due to a heavy lavender scent and that when the boy was sick, all I could detect was the smell of lemons. So I would say, yes, the house is haunted. It's a shame that tours are no longer allowed, as I suspect it is the real deal.
To me, I just want to be like, can you stop talking to me? I'm like busy. Why are you talking to me about lavender?
Lavender and lemons.
You had to leave a room because it smelled like lavender. Yeah, we've got like one of those like Febreze things in there. Like,
well, no, she said it's not scented.
Whatever.
Specifically, she said it wasn't scented.
But I don't believe that. And then,
well, somebody could be wearing something that smelled.
That's true too.
Lavender.
And then a boy vomited.
But it smelled like lemons.
Why is she walking over to somebody like, when the boy vomited, I smelled lemons? Like, okay, ma'am.
All right.
You please walk away from me now.
No.
I'd love it if you'd go over there.
I would just love it.
Yeah.
All right. Now this next one is from Jeff. I took a tour of the spy house when I was about 12. There was a psychic guide that pointed out spirits and instructed us where we could feel cold spots. Mostly the guide gave historical, or ostensibly historical, background. However, when we entered the oldest section of the structure, the log cabin area, I felt extremely uncomfortable. As the guide was giving his speech, I heard a rustling very close by. But shh, listen to that rustling. Of course.
Conan talking to Mr. T.
Yeah. I was standing next to a baby doll in a cradle with a porcelain toddler doll affixed to the crib looking over the baby doll. The toddler doll was wearing a straw hat, and it was my sense that that was the rustling I heard. My eyes were fixed on the doll, and I told the person next to me what I thought I heard. The speech continued, and as I stared at the doll with the straw hat, it moved right before my eyes.
Oh.
I was very scared. My feeling was that a cheap trick like that didn't seem to fit the vibe of the tour, and the doll appeared to be solid porcelain. Who knows, but if it was a trick, they nailed it because it scared me half to death. Now, Sammy, they of the lavender and lemon,
okay,
chimes back in.
Okay.
Nothing really crazy. Sounds to me like you experienced the real deal. When we were there, I didn't think for a minute that you could hire a teenage boy to vomit in front of a crowd of strangers.
What?
Also, I doubt when I heard a phantom woman laugh, you could employ over a dozen actors to say they didn't notice anything. Plus, I was with a childhood friend who didn't experience anything, and she has no reason to lie to me.
Wait a minute. Wait. I don't... Can you read the part about them hiring a child actor to vomit in front of people?
Certainly. All right. So, again, this person experienced a rustling of a hat.
All of this, and let's not forget that all of this is the backdrop to all these comments and people being like, here's what I experienced.
Were the lies of Gertrude Niedlinger.
The lies of a person who's not a real historian. Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Okay. So just to set the scene again, the first person says they heard a rustling of a straw hat of a doll, and they said it seemed like it could be some sort of parlor trick, but it wasn't the vibe of the tour, so I don't know the deal. Then this person chimes back in saying, sounds to me like, yes, you experienced the real deal, because when we were there, I didn't think for a minute you could hire a teenage boy to vomit in front of a crowd of strangers, being like, that had to be the real deal. They couldn't have hired him. Also, I doubt when I heard a phantom woman laugh, you could employ half a dozen actors to say they didn't notice anything. Plus, I was with a childhood friend who didn't experience anything, and she has no reason to lie to me.
It's so complicated.
It is complicated. I think they're so just saying, I too experienced things, and I too think that they weren't parlor tricks.
But are they under the impression that anything, literally anything that happens in the house has something to do with the paranormal? Like, there's no part of this person who's like, well, maybe a kid just threw up because they had, you know, bad McDonald's.
I know. I don't
They're
really
like,
get
the kid threw up because of a ghost or something?
It seems to me that what this person thinks is paranormal is that the kid threw up and it smelled like lemons.
This is, you got to be concerned about the thought process of a lot of people, don't you?
Yeah. Certainly Sammy's logic to me is not something I can wrap my head around.
I don't think that they could hire a boy to vomit in front of the guests.
It's
therefore
very scent-based. And surreal. As somebody who has experienced ghost scent, right. I can't relate to Sammy.
No.
Here.
I love though the idea of somebody being like, you know what, we gotta keep up what Gertrude Niedlinger had said about this place. Let's hire a boy to puke in front of everybody.
What does that do?
That'll get him. Like,
and let's make it smell like lemon.
That's insane. It's
because seriously, he
what
hit
are people
that,
thinking?
He hit that point a couple times in his story.
I don't know.
The lemon scent seemed to really get him.
A lemon pledge. Yeah, and this guy's freaking out saying it's a ghost.
I don't know. But so these are the stories of things that people experienced in the spy house. It is now open to the public again.
Okay.
But in extremely different form. It is now called the Bayshore Waterfront Park Activity Center. It's basically one of those places that you can go, I think. You know, when you like, when there's almost like a rest stop or something, and it has information about like things you can do in the area, it's like that kind of thing.
So they just completely,
yes,
they've gutted it and started over.
Yes.
They're like, Gertrude Niedlinger's lies have taken us to our breaking point.
Yeah, it seems like it's still a historical site. So they're still using the building and stuff. But it looks like an old building, but yeah, it has like a bunch of slots for brochures and stuff.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding. All right. Well, that was the first entry.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have to compare and contrast it against my
topic. It doesn't seem like it's really going to go far.
No, I really don't think. It was all founded on lies, on mistruths. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about the Whaley House in just a minute. But first, we want to remind you all that if you're enjoying this show, you can go to our Patreon to get more. It's patreon.com/GTTUpod. You know the deal with Patreon. There are a bunch of different tiers starting at our zombie tier. For just $1, you support us and you get access to our Discord. Then at our ghost tier, which is $4 a month, you start getting access to our completely second podcast, The Netherworld Dispatch. Every month, you'll get an exclusive episode. Then if you move up to the Banshee tier, $8 a month gets you 2 episodes of the Netherworld Dispatch every month. And at our top tier, the Demon tier, starting at $13 a month, though many people edit that 13.
I know.
Into higher numbers, which blows my mind.
Mine too. It's insanely nice.
I only say it because it's an option and people do it. And boy, oh boy, do we talk about it behind the scenes.
Holy crap, yes.
The Demon tier gets a new episode of the Netherworld Dispatch every single Monday. It's twice the amount of Guide to the Unknown that most of the world gets. And just for an example of what we did most recently, episode 156 of the Netherworld Dispatch, we titled Ghost Massacre by Daylight.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just late and I don't know what to call something.
I don't think it's bad. We played, I know you've talked about this as a bad title, but I think it works.
We played some horror video games. We played the new Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed multiplayer game. One person's a ghost, everyone else is Ghostbusters, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. We played the Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game. I played as a member of the family trying to hunt down people to feed to Grandpa.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
You have to feed their blood to Grandpa. And then it eventually says Grandpa at full strength. There is nowhere to hide.
Grandpa factors so heavily into this game. It's constantly flashing the word Grandpa at you.
And then we had the best time playing a single round of Dead by Daylight to cap it all. It was delightful. Mm-hmm. And I'm dying to play more.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Might even try to find some time to stream some of these games just because I was enjoying them so much.
Yeah.
So go check that out. Patreon.com/GTTUpod. I also just want to say, as a PSA, over on our Patreon page, we've got a shop section where you can get basically a cameo from us, a personalized video. Many people have bought them. So far, everybody seems happy.
Yeah.
However, there's one person out there, we're not quite sure who. Someone bought a jump scare from us and never messaged us.
Yes.
And Patreon, for whatever reason, does not tell you who bought something. Mm-hmm. It just puts money in your account. So somebody paid us and we're not able to send you a jump scare because we don't know who you are.
Yes. So please, if this was you, please message us on Patreon because we would love to get you your video.
Yeah. I don't want to steal your money.
No.
So message us if that was you or everybody else. Go buy a jump scare. They're super fun to do. Chrissy and I shoot a little video, talk directly at you.
Yeah.
Send it your way.
I love doing it.
Love it.
Also, somebody had us, or, you know, asked us to do a jump scare recently where it was like, kind of pep talk-esque.
Yeah.
I loved doing that one.
Yeah, me too.
So if that's something you're interested in, I really loved doing that, and I would love to gas you up. So
super,
please.
Super fun. So all of that, again, patreon.com/GTTUpod. Mm-hmm. And thank you so, so much to everybody who already supports us.
Thank you.
Now, I do have a review for us this week.
Great.
And to be on theme, I picked a fairly recent review because it's some of the good outcome of that Tell 'em Steve Dave experience.
Excellent.
Here's a 5-star review for us from Nunyabiz333, who said, "Another ant found you." Mm-hmm. Tell 'em Steve Dave, they call their listeners the ants.
Yeah.
So they say, "Found this from Will's spot on Tell 'em Steve Dave. I'm really enjoying it. Hope he gets the overkill job."
Yeah.
5 stars. Thank you. I think it's worth saying. I did talk about the brutal outcome, specifically like in the Tell 'em Steve Dave Reddit.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah.
No hard feelings. Mm-hmm. It was fun to do. I knew the risks.
Yeah.
I blew it. But I will also say that from doing that show, of course, there were plenty of people that also seemed to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And some of the people made the leap over here. So shout out to the Tell 'em Steve Dave ants.
Yeah.
I am among you. And I appreciate you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So more Guide to the Unknown after this commercial break. Okay. My entry into the bracket this week. On America's Most Haunted.
Yes.
I'm not the first person to come up with that, by the way.
I'm sure not.
But we're going to be talking about the Whaley House, Raj.
Yes.
So you pointed this out. I didn't want you to know, but you figured it out. Kristen was...
Well, it was my topic, so I remembered.
Yeah, Kristen was poking around where she didn't belong. I think I left something up on the screen that revealed my topic. If you've heard of the Whaley House before, particularly from us, it's because we've technically talked about this place.
Yes.
Way back in episode 36, 6 years ago,
I know.
We did an episode called Walt Disney's Frozen Head and Regis Philbin at the Whaley House.
Yeah.
Periodically, we like to do celebrity ghost stories. There's literally a show called Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Yeah, it's one of the best shows ever.
Where celebrities sit down and talk about times that they themselves saw a ghost. So early on in Guide to the Unknown's history, Kristen had watched Regis Philbin talk about his experience at the Whaley House. I'm not going to be recovering what Regis saw. Mm-hmm. I'll just put it this way. He also botched something. I think that he ruined a shot at documenting paranormal activity.
What do you mean?
He shined a flashlight at a ghost and it disappeared.
I don't remember.
And then everyone was like, Regis.
Reach.
Reach.
I wonder what Gelman thought.
Oh, if only we could find out, to be a fly on the wall.
Right.
However, I listened back to that episode just to make sure I didn't cover the same stuff. I'm going to talk about like the Whaley House itself, the history and why people say it's haunted. You talked about Regis's specific experience.
Of course.
But you did say this. I liked this. This is a quote from you.
Okay.
From that episode. You said that the Whaley House is called the most haunted house in America. And you went on to say, there are a bunch of most haunted houses in America.
Yeah.
I feel like you called it 6 years ago that eventually we'd come back to cover the most haunted houses.
I must know, because it's always been Bunko.
I know. You also brought up a place called Sweetwater Mansion, which I'm making sure we add to a list. Does that ring a bell to you now?
No, I'll write it down though.
At the time, you were like, you've never heard of this?
Really?
It's funny that 6 years ago, it's not even in your head.
Not at all.
Those brain cells are gone.
I know.
Gone, baby.
Fried.
So let's talk about the origin of the Whaley House. I'm going to take you way back in time. Think about like the Old West, basically.
Mm-hmm.
In 1856, Thomas Whaley started building a house in San Diego, California, proclaiming, quote, "My new house, when completed, will be the handsomest, most comfortable, and convenient place in town or within 150 miles of here." I love that.
I do too.
It's going to be the handsomest and most comfortable house ever. And everyone's like, I wish you'd make my house comfortable.
But to say, like, why announce that to everybody? It's just going to be your house.
It's like a pain in the ass. Yeah. When I build my house, it'll be better than all of yours.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Way to go, Thomas Whaley. Now, unfortunately for Thomas Whaley, the exact spot he chose to build his house was where just a few years earlier, a fella named Yankee Jim had been publicly hanged.
Uh-oh.
It turns out that this Yankee Jim fella, he stole a boat.
That's a hangable offense at the time.
Steal a boat, yeah. End up hanged. 1850s.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. That's what Wikipedia says, and I watched a bunch of different clips of shows that have covered the Whaley House. So mm-hmm. I watched BuzzFeed Unsolved,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, the Yankee Jim stole a boat, got hanged. And they're like, I dream of Yankee Jim somewhere in heaven driving a speedboat.
Yeah.
Well, I dug a little bit deeper, and it seems like, I mean, some of it's rumored.
Sure.
So who knows? But if the rumors are true, I don't know. Maybe what? He deserved to be hanged.
Oh.
Listen to this. Else? So yeah, Wikipedia overlooked this fact. A lot of these ghost shows overlooked this fact. He was not, well, okay. The California Digital Newspaper Collection. I literally read newspapers from the 1850s.
Uh-huh.
The Los Angeles Herald reported this about Yankee Jim Robinson. It was said that he had loafed around there.
Uh-oh.
Hanged for loafing.
Yeah.
Who's been leaving these loafs?
Who loafed?
Yankee Jim. Did you loaf in my backyard? So he'd been loafing around various mining camps. This is during the gold rush.
Okay.
People went out to pan for gold. And had pounced upon miners in an out-of-the-way place.
Oh.
Murdered them. And robbed them of their golden trinkets.
Okay, so he was hanged, and just also he has stolen a boat.
Yeah, he was eventually caught for stealing a boat.
Yeah.
And tried for grand larceny and found guilty.
Okay.
But part of me wonders if it wasn't a, who's the guy that they got on tax evasion?
I was just trying to think of that. I don't know, like a mobster guy.
Al Capone? Maybe. Was that him? Whatever. Yeah. Like some famous mobster. It's like he committed a gajillion crimes.
Right.
They got him for tax evasion and used that as the thing to lock him up.
To get him in jail, yeah.
So just to get him off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Yankee Jim, they were like, you keep murdering people, but we can't prove it.
Yeah.
However, we saw you take that boat.
Yeah.
So we're going to hang you.
That we got you on.
Hang you from the neck.
Right.
So, maybe, yeah. For some reason, now this I thought was strange,
uh-huh.
Again, 1850s logic.
Yeah.
The jury of his peers who determined whether or not he was guilty.
Yeah.
Two of the people on the jury were the guy he stole the boat from.
Oh, that doesn't seem.
I
guess they didn't have that, like, ruling out people thing they do now.
I guess not. It didn't seem terribly fair.
No.
Wait a minute. Two of the guys that I stole the boat from are going to decide if I'm guilty of stealing their boat?
Yeah.
And my life is on the line? Yeah. Maybe there were literally only 12 people in San Diego at this point.
Maybe.
So, in 1852, he's sentenced to death. The judge says the following. You will be taken to the place of execution, and there hung by the neck until you are dead.
Just yeah, I feel like they always say that kind of
hardcore
thing.
1850s yeah. language. Yeah. So here's how they did it. They put old Yankee Jim in the back of a carriage pulled by mules.
Uh-huh.
And they drive him beneath where the noose is hanging. The carriage just pulls up underneath the noose.
Yeah.
They put the noose around his neck. And then the driver goes, yeah, whips the mules, and the mules pull away.
Uh-huh.
So it says here in the newspaper, Yankee Jim kept his feet in the wagon as long as possible, but was finally pulled off. He swung back and forth like a pendulum until he strangled to death. You think of, like, somebody being hanged.
I'm picturing this right.
So you think of somebody being hanged where it's like you climb the 13 steps to the gallows, right?
Yeah.
And they have that trap door and you fall down and swing. They pulled up with a mule-drawn carriage.
Yeah.
He was tied in the noose while sitting on the carriage. And then the carriage pulled away. But so because it pulled
away.
Seems
like he'd be so low.
I don't know. Well, I guess they tied the noose higher, maybe standing on the thing.
Right.
Right, and then they drive the carriage away.
Uh-huh.
And so because of that, he tried to keep his feet on the carriage, obviously.
Yeah.
Which meant that he started to dangle and swing back and forth while strangling to death. He looked like, he literally looked like the pendulum of a grandfather clock.
Yeah.
Or like a metronome. Just tick, tick, tick.
Boy.
Until he died.
They're brutal.
And so there, now you've got Thomas Whaley, just a few years later, who supposedly was present for that execution.
Yeah, people loved that. Yeah.
They wanted to see it. Uh-huh. He buys that plot of land to build his most comfortable, most convenient house. Now, it's very hard to parse out the order of events.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Yankee Jim. He's already dead on the spot. But there are going to be other deaths that happen in this place once the Whaley House is built. Here are some of the general hauntings that get reported in the Whaley House. There are mists that appear from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Very classic ghosty stuff I've got. So yeah, mists that appear from like nowhere. Lights will turn on and off by themselves. I believe that's a more modern thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, then it would have been candles and stuff. But evidently, crystals in the parlor room's lamp. I don't really understand. I can't really picture this, but I guess inside the lamp there are crystals. Maybe they're hanging from the the lampshade, that kind of thing. They would swing back and forth without any prompting, which to me obviously evokes old Yankee Jim.
Yeah.
Swinging to death.
He had a prompting, all right.
Yeah. So Thomas, his wife Anna, they move into the house and they end up having 6 children. Many of them end up dying in the house. Here are the 2 big dramatic ones. Thomas Jr. is a baby. Dies of scarlet fever at 18 months old.
Mm-hmm.
After Thomas Jr.'s death, supposedly, quote, they could hear tiny footsteps, the sounds of him crying, and even giggling when no one was in sight. So Thomas Jr. dies and becomes a ghost in the house at 18 months old. That's the theory. There's Violet Eloise, one of the daughters. She shot herself in 1885 at just 20 years old after, quote, suffering from melancholy.
Mm.
Because her husband was found out to be a con artist.
Oh.
It turns out that George T. Bertolacci only married Violet so that he could inherit some of the Whaley family fortune.
He wanted some of that comfort.
He did. I want some of the comfort of this house.
Yeah.
Please, Thomas Whaley, please provide some comfort.
Damn it.
So Violet left a note behind that read, quote, mad from life's history, swift to death's mystery. Glad to be hurled anywhere out of this world.
Oh, man.
It's a wild poem.
Yeah, it is.
It's evidently a passage from a poem by Thomas Hood, which itself is called Bridge of Sighs.
Hmm.
S-I-G-H-S.
What else would it be?
Like a large bridge. A bridge of sighs. S-I-Z-E.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Why, that is a bridge of size right there.
Really a bridge of size, yeah.
What a delightfully large bridge. They didn't have much to think about back then.
That's true, yeah.
So, this was a gigantic scandal, obviously. So,
right.
Violet's husband is found out to be a con artist. She shoots herself and dies.
Mm-hmm.
This, I guess, her sister Corinne was also engaged.
Mm-hmm.
This destroyed that engagement. Because I think people, the only thing I can figure, all that says online is like...
Now they're just kind of like distrustful or something?
Yeah, I think everyone's just distrustful. So like all it says online is like it broke off the engagement for Corinne as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess people were like, well, is he also a con artist?
Yeah.
Is everyone just trying to marry the Whaley daughters to get access to the family fortune?
Yeah.
So Thomas, the father, after all of this trouble, decides to build a different house somewhere else. Let's get everybody out of the house.
Uh-huh.
So they all move... somewhere else. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But so for about 20 years, what we think of as the Whaley House falls into general disrepair. During those 20 years, Thomas, the patriarch, the guy who kicked it all off, he dies at the other house.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other daughters, Anna Amelia, dies. But then the remaining Whaleys, wife Anna,
mm-hmm.
and the remaining kids move back into the Whaley House itself.
Yeah.
and more deaths occur. This is almost like, I'll do like a speed round. Uh-huh. So like basically people move out of the Whaley house, Yankee Jim, Thomas Jr. and Violet die on that spot. Mm-hmm. Everyone moves away. Thomas dies. One of the daughters dies. People move back. Basically everybody else appears to, from what I could tell, it's ambiguous.
Yeah.
At least some of these people die in that house again.
The hell's going on?
So Thomas's widow, Anna, dies at 80 years old. Francis, one of the sons, dies at 60 years old. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, Francis, at some point when the house was abandoned, decided to rehabilitate it and turn it into a museum. And it said online that he would, like, not only was it a museum, but he would entertain people with the sounds of his guitar playing.
Oh, boy.
Sounds miserable.
That sounds horrible.
Just making hardcore eye contact
would
with
he
Francis while he's...
entertain? Are we sure?
Playing the guitar. They don't say, like, he had a band or, you know, they don't say that he played music. They just say, like, he entertained with his guitar playing.
Oh, God.
He didn't know what he was doing. He thrust it upon them. Exactly. Yeah. He's like, this is Wonderwall. You know, have you guys heard of Dave Matthews yet? Your kids are going to love it. Yeah. Your great, 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 great grandkids.
Wow. So for Anna to live to 80 for those times,
I know.
She was like 130.
Yes, I know. It's insane to live to 80.
Yeah.
She made it to the 1900s.
Damn.
George.
Go, Anna. Go, Anna.
It's her death day. George makes it to 68 years old and dies in the 20s. Mm-hmm. Corinne ends up being, whose engagement had been broken off. Uh-huh. She becomes the last Whaley to survive, mm-hmm. and the last Whaley to die in that house in 1953.
Wow.
At almost 90 years old.
Did she never get married?
I'm not sure. You know how
they say, like, there's some, like, old ladies who are, like, 110, it's like, and they're like, it's because I never got married. I never bothered with men, so I didn't have the stress, and so I've lived forever.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea, unfortunately. Yeah. But so with that, rest in peace to the Whaley family.
Okay.
The Whaley family is gone. Mm-hmm. All told, here are the deaths on that plot of land in that house. There's Thomas Jr. and Violet confirmed. Mm-hmm. And then I have a mix of information from various sources that say that Anna, the widow, Anna, Francis, George, and Corinne all die on that land. Mm-hmm. That is six deaths plus Yankee Jim.
Yeah.
Who was hanged on that spot from mule death. A classic mule cart hanging, as they call it.
It's a packed house.
But so obviously the stories only really kick off further from there. The Whaley house itself is like a very historic place. At mm-hmm. times it was also bizarrely the town's courthouse.
Oh, okay.
Thomas Whaley would like rent out the upstairs to be the town's courthouse. Uh-huh. And then it was also the first theater in town. It's a very, very, very famous historical place.
Yeah.
Such luminaries as Zach Bagans mm-hmm. have been there. Obviously, Regis Philbin.
Of course.
I mentioned BuzzFeed Unsolved, mm-hmm. which anytime I've looked at it, I really, really like it.
Same.
It gives me Guide to the Unknown-ish, like just having fun with the paranormal kind of vibes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Ryan and Shane go to various haunted locations, and I don't remember who's who of Ryan and Shane. One of them is a believer, one of them is a skeptic. I don't intend to throw shade. I just don't know.
I don't either.
At some point in the middle of the night, they're sitting in, now that it's a museum.
I think Ryan's the skeptic.
Okay.
I think... Whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Yeah. So they've got part of the house made up to still look like a courthouse. Mm-hmm. As today, it's a museum. They have the courthouse thing set up. They're in there in the middle of the night, and the skeptic is sitting there with a flashlight, and his flashlight stops working. Mm-hmm. And he's like, definitely got to be a ghost. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this. I'm a skeptic, too.
This would be spooky to
be in a dark
room.
Of all the places for your flashlight to all abruptly stop working, being in a haunted house in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, like I seldom am using a flashlight and it just stops working out of nowhere.
Yes, it's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then the believer starts talking about how he's getting like a chill up his spine and he's getting lightheaded and stuff. Uh-huh. But it's all like, it's all very playful. But I actually feel like if you enjoy watching paranormal shows, I always end up walking away being like, well, Zach Bagans is full of shit.
Yeah.
He's a Gertrude Niedlinger, if ever there was one.
Yes.
I ended up walking away from BuzzFeed Unsolved. Like, that's interesting. I even feel like the skeptic was kind of like, I experienced something at least inconvenient.
Yeah.
And it,
he experienced an inconvenient truth.
He experienced an inconvenient truth.
Yeah. No, I like that show. I don't watch it regularly, but I do like it whenever I watch it.
I know. I've greatly enjoyed it. I think BuzzFeed, is BuzzFeed dead? Something like that.
Well, BuzzFeed News is dead. They have their own network now, I know. They're on Watcher.
Ryan and Shane?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now it's just called, like, I don't know, Unsolved or whatever. But I think BuzzFeed Unsolved still exists.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, they have their own thing now. It's basically the same format. I think it's called, like, the Ghost Files or something.
Good for them.
Yeah.
It's like the Taylor's version.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You know? Yeah, right? Totally.
And then another group that I think gets forgotten in the grand history of the Whaley House, but deserves to be listed among all the paranormal investigators, is Mega 64.
Ah.
So Mega 64 is a group that primarily are like video game centric comedy group.
Yeah.
So they do sketches where it's like Mario out and, you know, the big famous thing for them was like they dressed up like a Tetris block, like walked around crouching next to mailboxes and stuff. It was like very goofy, very fun.
Yeah.
Really early on, they did a Luigi's Mansion in public sketch where one of the guys, Derek Acosta, dresses like Luigi. And in the video game Luigi's Mansion, Luigi uses a vacuum to vacuum up ghosts. So he ends up going to the Whaley House with a dustbuster. Uh-huh. He's just vacuuming all over the place. And then at some point, a guy who works at the Whaley House goes, "What are you doing there?" Like, gets in his face a little bit. And he's like, "Now, what is that thing you're holding?" So it's a little handheld dustbuster. Goes, "What does it do? It's a vacuum? You're trying to vacuum up the ghosts?" And he also says, "Please don't scare our ghosts away." And he ends up kicking Derek out. It's like, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's funny. But I'll conclude with this, because just like you, I also turned to our favorite website, hauntedplaces.org, where there was, similarly, a slight back and forth with some people in the comments.
Love that.
So here are just some firsthand experiences of people who supposedly have gone to the Whaley House and either seen something or distinctly not seen anything. Mm-hmm. Here's what Alex said in 2014. "Upon visiting the Whaley House for the first time, I was incredibly disappointed. I was disappointed by the fact that the vast majority of ghost pictures that people have taken there could be easily debunked right away." Hmm. So I checked. The Whaley House has their own website.
Uh-huh.
And you can, you know, buy tickets to go on a daytime tour or a nighttime tour. They do their own ghost investigations and stuff. And they have a page for pictures where people have tagged them and been like, "Here's a ghost I saw."
Yeah.
And a lot of them are just like blurry mists and shapes and orbs, that kind of thing. So here's Alex not enjoying that. "I had seen so many pictures of misty figures and strange translucent apparitions in the rooms of the house. The first thing you notice when you head upstairs is that the entrance to every room is blocked off by a 7-foot-tall piece of plexiglass. Right away, I could tell that so many of these amazing pictures I had seen were simply reflections from the glass."
Oh.
So what he's saying is if you actually go to the Whaley House, you can't go into any of those rooms.
Oh.
So you just have to take a picture through the glass.
Uh-huh.
And once you're taking a picture through the glass...
Right, so like an orb or whatever is just a reflection.
It's the reflection of your flash, of a light behind you, of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Pepper's Ghost thing from Disney. It makes the...
Yeah.
It might make that little, like, you know, reflection or that little bit of light look like it's in the room.
Right.
But it's on the glass in front of the room.
Yeah.
Which, that's annoying.
Yeah, that is annoying.
I think Alex is right. But he does say, "The house is gorgeous and creepy. So many people have had amazing experiences there, but I will have trouble being convinced by any photos taken from behind that glass." So,
understandable.
Here's another reaction to the Whaley House from Robert. "I have been here numerous times, and I can say and feel that there is nothing haunted about this place. And yes, so much plexiglass and the sun reflecting off the glass decorations in the courthouse is a bit annoying." Oh, here's why I copied this down. As he says this.
Uh-huh.
"As a point of reference, I started G-hunting years ago."
Ooh.
After seeing an apparition.
Does he write G-hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
G-hunting.
No, capital G, period hunting. Okay.
"I started G-hunting."
Nice.
That.
Yeah. He's a professional.
Does that make it sound cooler or lamer?
Lamer.
"I'm a G-hunter."
Yeah.
It's like almost like you don't want people to know that what you're hunting
what G's
is ghosts.
Are. Yeah.
You know, yeah, you don't want them to know what G's are.
Yeah.
Like, you're a hunter? A G hunter?
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Me too.
You know what they should
just
do?
Just assume, yeah.
Forget G period hunting. Forget G-dash hunting.
Yeah.
Just mash it all together.
Gunting.
Gunting. I'm a gunter. I'm going out gunting this weekend. Do you want to come? No? Why not? Get in the car. We're going gunting.
I think there are plenty of people who do.
I don't know.
Going to the clubs.
Okay. So Robert started G hunting years ago after seeing an apparition pass by him in a SoCal restaurant he worked at, and has picked up numerous EVPs at different sites in different states. So his point of reference is like, it's not just plexiglass. Yeah. He's like, I've got the contrast of having done this before and then going to the Whaley House and being like, I don't see or feel anything here, and I would know. I'm a gunter.
I'm a gunter.
So here's the response that we sort of get. It's not as much shade as you would hope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here's at least an opposing viewpoint that I'll leave this all on from Susan.
Sure.
Who comments a year later. You know, Robert's long gone.
Right.
He might be a G himself at this point. Who knows?
That's true. Anything can happen.
Susan has this perspective. This location is definitely haunted. There have been recorded sightings of apparitions, and I have personally experienced being touched, smelling perfume, hearing footsteps, and the organ upstairs playing. Lights flashing violently, and lots of orbs in still photos. Video recordings are not allowed, nor audio. The staff closely monitors your actions while in the house for its protection, and a fee is charged for admittance. I have been investigating the paranormal. That should be like, I'm a PI, a paranormal investigator.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
And then that sounds better, too.
Definitely.
I'm a PI. A private investigator? A PI.
Yeah. Right? That's like on Curb Your Enthusiasm this season when Vince Vaughn is dating somebody who works at Disney.
Yes.
But it turns out they work at the Disney store.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Ambiguity.
Yeah.
So I've been investigating the paranormal for over 25 years, and this lovely house is full of poltergeist activity, active and residual hauntings. The nighttime tour is the best chance you'll have for any activity or experience. Also, the Queen Mary is very haunted and not to be missed. Robert A., I recommend you spend a little more time investigating with equipment, not your senses.
Oh.
Because he was like, I didn't feel
anything.
But then that just...
I don't know. I think the senses might be the best equipment.
I totally agree. It gets back into the age-old debate of like, who decided that this camera picks up ghosts?
Totally.
And that it's a fact. Because we still aren't...
Yeah.
The jury, at best, the jury is out.
Yes.
On whether or not ghosts even exist.
Yeah.
I mean...
Totally.
They might just not.
Certainly.
We don't have any confirmed sightings.
No, we don't.
All right, so we've come to the conclusion.
Right, right.
So what do you make of this? Whaley House versus the Spy House.
Well, I have to say, with there being evidence that Gertrude Niedlinger seemed to have made up stories.
Yeah.
If not totally, it seems like at the very least she embellished the story about
this house is haunted. This house is super haunted.
It's the most haunted house I've ever seen. embellished the story about Thomas Seabrook getting spies from British people. It seems all but confirmed that she stocked the house with her own things and called them artifacts.
Yeah, can I have my artifacts back? I'm suing to get my artifacts back.
While I think it's completely awesome,
yeah,
I think that I'm going to give this one to Whaley House.
I think Whaley House takes it.
Yeah.
There is also, for the Whaley House, at least they have confirmed stuff on the spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, at least it's like Yankee Dave or whatever his name was.
Yankee Doodle.
Yankee Doodle. He was hanged there.
Right.
That alone is like a nudge. A confirmed death is closer to a ghost than telling a story.
In that Ghost Hunters blog or Paranormal Investigators blog that I referenced, that'll be in the show notes, he said that Gertrude Niedlinger said that it was that the building was built on the grave of an Indian chief or something who did indeed exist, that we don't know if he's buried there or whatever. So like, it's not confirmed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot not confirmed at the Spy House.
Right.
And at least some stuff confirmed at the Whaley House. I mean, the haunting itself is debatable.
It can't be confirmed, but
And especially, I mean, they now make their bread and butter on this place being haunted.
Yeah.
They want you to believe this place is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
But so, and also, something else that I like, that it's just sort of how this, you know, fell together.
Yeah.
You've got the Spy House on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And you got the Whaley House on the West Coast.
That's true.
And both of them seem to have a vested interest in promoting themselves as the most haunted place
right.
in America. You got right. a classic East Coast, West Coast beef.
Yes. Yes. That's true.
Right.
I mean, much as it pains me.
Yep.
As an East Coaster, as are you, I got to give it to the West Coast.
I know, I got to give it to the West Coast.
This one goes to Tupac.
This one's for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. The Whaley House takes it in this round. But I do think that it would be fun to do this. Yeah. I like this.
Me too. And
I'm sure there are more places that claim to be the most haunted place in America.
A ton.
Feel free, if you out there know of any in particular, you can leave them in the comments on YouTube or email them to gttupod@gmail.com.
Yep.
We would greatly appreciate that. And this is like our sports.
Yes.
Like, I don't do fantasy football or the NBA brackets.
No.
We'll do it with haunted houses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is cool.
We ourselves will decide which place is the most haunted.
Yes.
So somehow the Whaley House is moving up, and then we'll have two other competitors come in, and at some point we'll pit the Whaley House against somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is beautiful. So yeah, let us know if you have a fave out there that you can throw into the ring.
Please.
And we will be back soon with more scary stuff. In the meantime, as Will said, please go check out patreon.com/gttupod if you would like to help support us in this endeavor and get more shows, because we have a ton of extra stuff out there. And you can also follow us on social media. We have @gttupod everywhere, and you can also follow us individually. I am @chillinkristen.
I am @themythtraveler. So thank you all so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more scary fun, but until that time comes, we must travel
back to the netherworld. Go we.
Boing.
Drink.
Tell them, Steve Dave.
Yeah.
Right?
Go ahead and do it.
Why don't you go ahead and tell them, Steve?
Tell them, Steve.
Tell me, Steve.